Are you looking forward to the game tonight?
Yeah, it should be fun. Game 7's always fun.
Right.
Especially when you don't have a rooting interest, it's even better.
Why would that be the case?
He doesn't cheer for any team.
Because you just watched the game.
I know that, but how could it be more fun to not have skin in the game?
This guy sat and watched the Olympics and Canada won, and he just went like this.
But then he broke it down. He broke it down after.
I understand
I lean more towards that because I just want...
Yeah, but you're right. Being a fan's great, but I mean, it's there's a lot of angst involved. I understand that. And it can be a lot of happiness if your team's going well, but if the team's going poorly, I mean, it's the old... you're right. The skin in the game thing makes you either really happy or really upset, but it makes you feel emotion.
It's going to swing tonight.
And I won't feel emotion. I'll be feeling emotion when I'm looking at the score of the Kitchener Ranger Sault Ste. Marie Greyhound playoff game tonight. Ooh. With Sault Ste. Marie up 2-1 with game 4 in Kitchener tonight, because my son's the GM of the Kitchener Rangers and I like to see him be successful. So that part I'm nervous about. I can be a fan there.
Yeah, that
I don't
makes
have to break that
sense.
Game down.
That Sault team's supposed to be unbelievable.
They're a very good team. Very good team. Best team in Canada all season long. So
right. Well,
you can always slay the dragon, Bobby. You never know.
It's never know.
They got one. It's 2-1.
It's why they play the games.
So, you know, we've talked about this leading up to every game outside of game one where we weren't really sure what to expect or we didn't have another game to base our future opinion on. Do you throw everything out for game 7 or do you use
the
first
right out the window? And I know, listen, if you're the Leaf fans, you don't want to throw anything out the window because they've won the last two games. Plekanec's line has handled Bergeron's line. Anderson's been better than Rask. So there's nothing that you want to throw out. You like the result. You like the way it's happening. So you're going to say, oh yeah, there's carryover for sure. Momentum carries over. Absolutely there does. If that were the case, then the Leafs would have been dead in the water in Game 3 and Game 4 because they were so hopelessly out of it for Game 1 and Game 2. So I've said this a million times. We've had so many great coaches come through TSN studios over the years, sit on panels. Mike Babcock, John Tortorella, Peter Laviolette, Paul Maurice, Joel Quenneville. You go up and down the best coaches, and they've all been here. And they all told me the exact same thing, especially in playoffs. There is no momentum from game to game. You are master of your own fate when the game starts. More so in playoffs than any, you have a chance to reverse what's gone wrong or not be assured that what's gone right is just going to go right for you because you happen to do it the last two games. It all happens on the ice. So I take everything that's happened in this series and I pitch it out. Now, you know, first 10 minutes could really... if it reinforces everything that happened before, then yes, then what's happened in the past starts to become a factor, but it must happen tonight, and it doesn't happen just by throwing your sticks on the ice.
Well, the Leafs haven't had fun in this building. I mean, the first two games were terrible, and game 5, they hung on for dear life in the third.
They hung on for dear life, but they dominated the first half of the game, and part of the reason they got dominated the second half of the game was because they got a parade to the penalty box. Now, depending who you talk to, that was either the referee's fault or maybe the Leafs needed to be more disciplined. But they they did what they had to win that hockey game. And at the end of the day, you don't have to apologize for winning games in the playoffs.
Well, the officiating conversation is an interesting one because we focused on the players all day and they all say the same thing. And a lot of it's cliched. We're going to treat it like it's any other game. We can't get too amped up. What about from the official standpoint and specifically from the league? Have you ever been of the impression that they've told officials going into Game 7, like, we don't want to see 6-1 again because we're going to have a riot on our hands. Like, you can't do that in Game 7.
I don't think anyone would ever say that to a referee. I don't think Stephen Walkham or Billy McCreary or any of the supervisors would tell Wes McCauley or Kelly Sutherland, you better make sure the penalties are relatively even tonight. You know, just let the players decide. They're calling the game. And if somebody's going to get on a run and end up with four or five penalties in a row to the penalty box, so be it. They're going to call it the way they see it, I think.
Yeah, and I think those are the two refs, Wes McCauley and Kelly Sutherland. Like, they're both good refs. Like, they're both very confident in their reserve, too. Like, I've always respected refs when they have the confidence to make a non-call. Because I think you could call a penalty every shift. Really, that's the truth. There's always guys trying to reach out or do something and get away with a little gray.
I don't understand what you're saying. Make a non-call.
Just let it go.
Okay.
Keep it playing. Let's go.
Okay.
Like, quit flapping around the ice or don't. You know, like, to me, get a pulse of the game and not be a factor. Keep it within the lines of respectability on both sides, but where both teams know this is how the game is going to be called. And to me, I always noticed that veteran refs had that. They had that feel for the game.
You can tell watching the series, Jamie. Like, if you bounced around from the series and watched the different games, it was like, that would have been called last night in that series. And right. These guys are just like, let them play.
But refs are they're their own entity as themselves. I mean, yeah, Wes McCauley has a style. Kelly Sutherland has a style.
And we all love Wes McCauley because he's colorful and he does the announcements. And
I don't think
fighting,
he needs that tonight.
The fighting thing. But I forget which game I was watching in the last week. He was in the middle of
arguing with players.
He was arguing with players or not arguing with players, like telling them, buzz off.
Yeah.
Get out of my face. And there was some backlash to him not talking to the players. And one of the teams was really mad at him. So it's always fascinating to see how a game seven plays out. And it's a big moment for them. And what it tells you is that in the eyes of the National Hockey League, these are two of the top guys because you've only got one game seven. There's only one series going on. So they're going to put what they believe are their best people on it.
Bobby, how much of a positive impact does Mitch Marner's play have on his situation after this season and the offseason? I think he's a pretty proud guy, and I don't think he would ever want a situation or think it would be fair if Austin Matthews was paid up here and he was cut it in half or whatever.
No question. Now, obviously the only focus for Marner, Nylander, Matthews
is tonight.
Is obviously on the game, but, you know, what you do in games like this goes a long way towards determining how you're going to get paid and how you're treated at contract time. Nylander's deal, of course, is up at the end of this year. He's got to be done. Marner and Matthews are eligible for extensions after July 1. No guarantees that they get them done. I don't even know if Lou's going to be the GM of this team. So there's like a million questions before we get to how much money they're going to make. How many years are they going to get? When are they going to get it? So there's so many, but I will only say this. Mitch Marner, I watched him play junior hockey. You can see the confidence that he's got. Mitch Marner thinks of himself as good as any hockey player out there. And he's, you know, Matthews is his friend and it's not a competition. But Mitch Marner thinks he's as good as it gets. That's why he's as good as he is.
Yeah. He'll be confident tonight. I'm not worried about him. Like, I am not.
I fully expect him to have a great game.
Yeah, and be comfortable and be cocky with the puck and make plays that generally you wouldn't expect in Game 7. I don't think he's going to change his game much.
Well, that's what we were just talking about. I talked to Justin Williams yesterday morning, and he's like, it's kind of like golf, Jeff. He's like, all these guys can make a six-footer. But can they make that six-footer when it's like Sunday afternoon late? He goes, you got to have some jam to be able to make a really good play when the circumstances are really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these guys got
to
do.
That's game seven in a nutshell, right? Like, who's going to have the stones to play the game they're supposed to play, they're capable of playing?
Yeah, and, you know, like, who's Mr. Game? Justin Williams is game seven, Mr. Game Seven. So who's Mr. Game Seven for the Leafs and the Bruins? Well, I don't know that the Leafs have one that's fully established based on history, so it could be one of the kids that steps up and does it. You know, it could be James Van Riemsdyk. In 2010, he was on that Philadelphia team that was down 3-0 in games to the Bruins, down 3-0 in the first period of game seven.
Come back and won.
And Peter Laviolette called the timeout when it got to 3-0, and they called the timeout, and less than 3 minutes later, JVR got the goal that got Philly back in the game, and they went on to win it. On the Bruins side, it's easy. It's Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Game seven. It doesn't get any better than Justin Williams would do this. Your game seven reputation doesn't get any better if you do it in game seven of the Stanley Cup final. Two goals, one assist, best player on the ice, dominated against the Vancouver Canucks to win them the cup in 2011. He is the Bruins' Mr. Game Seven.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Boston, I know we talk about the Leafs and their failures, but
they got
Boston's
some
had some, you know,
but you know what?
Skeletons
again,
in the closet, too.
The Leaf failure in 13 doesn't matter. The Bruin failure in 2010 doesn't matter. The Bruin success in 2011 doesn't matter. And in fact, what happened in games 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It's what they're going to do tonight.
We can't wait for it. All right, Bob, enjoy it.
Thanks,
try
guys.
To enjoy it tonight if you can. Enjoy the Kitchener game, too. Go Rangers. Go Rangers.